Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
This is an extra. This is not anything that's been on the podcast schedule. This is just the audio of a video exchange that we just had about a huge event coming up in Milwaukee. In order for everyone to understand the importance of why this event is coming together and why we are supporting it as humanists, we have to look back. So bear with us as we sort of retread some older ground, but propel forward to talk about an amazing opportunity for us to make a difference in the lives of people who have been damaged by sexual abuse. It's a serious topic. We want to offer a serious solution as humanists. In the description box, there is a link where you can donate. I would beg you, give $5, $10, whatever you can afford. Come together with me as a community and let's do some good, for goodness sake. If you want to watch the video, the link's in the description box, but here's the exchange between myself, Rob Moore of the Atheist Underground podcast, Jenica Crail of the Real Life Beyond Faith podcast, Callie Wright from the Atheist Manifesto, and Joe Magestro, who was once on the board of directors at Mythicist Milwaukee in advance of MythCon and now is helping to propel this new effort forward. Thanks to my guest, and thanks to you for listening to this bonus broadcast for a very important cause. Milwaukee's had kind of a tough year, right? I mean, 2017 saw an event which became hugely polarizing. I myself was originally part of it back. I was invited before there was even a speakers list. And at first I was like, yeah, sure, I'll talk to anybody. And after I saw sort of the chaos surrounding it and the tone of it and the goals of it, I became convinced that, you know, I just didn't want to go. I pulled the plug on my own. Not soon enough for some, and other people said I should have been there and I should have spoken and participated and been a part of the discourse, because that's kind of how they framed it. We're going to get all these sides together and they're all going to talk it out and hash it out. And this is all about communication, right? And this is how we make the movement better. But there is some awfulness that we have to address. So does anybody want to start us down that rabbit hole real fast?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Seth, great intro. I think you weren't alone. I know you weren't alone in backing out. RMRA and others declined to go when they realized kind of what it was going to be about. And when Dilhani went, he made a video afterwards that very, very smartly and succinctly synopsized what happened and really hit the nail on the head with the guy's motives behind the whole thing. Everybody who didn't want to go because they were uncomfortable with it, we've invited back and they've all agreed to come and help us put a positive spin on the Milwaukee secular community. We want to support victims. We want to raise money for victims. We want to raise the profile of the secular community as a community that does good instead of a divided community, a community that invites offensive speech, quite frankly, and engenders fear and feelings of unwantedness and marginalization from members of the audience who thought they were showing up at an event that was welcoming in an open discussion kind of way for everyone.
See, for me, I think a lot of what MythCon represented is it was sort of an encapsulation of a lot of the reason people don't engage in our community, right? It's not the entirety of it, but I think it's a pretty good summation of the problems that a lot of people have criticized the movement for, frankly, for quite some time. But I think as important as pointing out, you know, the negatives and these are the problems in our community, I think it's equally important to provide positive alternatives and to promote positive alternatives, if that makes sense.
I'd like to elaborate a little bit more just because I want to sort of frame what we're up against in some ways. I mean, there's a narrative out there that we're a movement splintered. Good luck defining the movement. But, you know, I can imagine somebody in the audience back in September, and, you know, Jenica, you said you were there and you felt unsafe. You felt like, you know, I'm not welcome here. I'm not comfortable here. This is not what I signed up for. You want to paint that picture for me?
It was surprising more than anything. I wouldn't say that I personally felt unsafe there. I know that there were some women there who did feel like legitimately unsafe and left the room. I, more than anything, felt angry because I had never been to an atheist conference where I felt like my feelings as a woman and my experience as a woman was so not valued by what seemed like the majority of the audience there. When Thomas read that tweet that Sargon had made and everyone cheered.
Now describe the tweet for those who may not be familiar with the story.
So Sargon had tweeted at a member of parliament and said, "I wouldn't even rape you." And this was the victim of sexual assault that he was tweeting at. So in my mind, that is sexual harassment. Even if it's not necessarily sexual harassment, it's a horrible thing to do to a person, especially someone who's a victim. So,
and Thomas, more important to that context, yeah. I think it's important to point out that this was in response to her describing a program in which she was trying to fight bullying and sexual harassment online. Exactly. And it was a link to a news story where she was saying, well, this is what I'm trying to do about the problem of sexual harassment and bullying online. And that was his response to that. So it wasn't even just the rape taunt. It was the context of, here's what I'm trying to do about this problem. And that's how he responded. So it's even more gross.
The crowd, like as soon as Thomas read the tweet, the crowd applauded. Like, like bravo for saying this horrible thing to this person. And I was in shock. Like my heart sunk into my chest and I was upset, one, because it's horrible, and two, because there may have been people in that room who have never been to an atheist conference before, and this was their first experience in the secular community, and this is what was happening. And so I am very excited about this Brew City benefit that's going to happen because it gives Milwaukee a chance to kind of redeem itself a little bit. Like now people can come and go to a conference, go to an event that is uplifting and exciting and where everyone can feel safe and it's based on humanist values. So that makes me super excited and that makes me want to be as much of part of it as I possibly can, because I was there and I felt that heartbreak when I saw the aspect of, you know, the atheist movement that is despicable.
Well, let me put it this way. I was never more embarrassed of hosting an event in my entire life. You know, I was there right there with Jenica, and I probably went in and out of that theater, God, probably 6 to 8 times because I just couldn't handle how upset I was. I just had to get out of the room myself. But I think Jenica hit on a very strong point there. She said there may have been people who could have been their first secular conference. We met those people. I remember Jenica, you, me, and Thomas were talking to people saying, this was my very first secular conference. I don't know what to make of this. Yeah. So and this is the experience they get. It's ridiculous.
Would you say that Milwaukee sort of needs a broader reach than what it's had in the past? I mean, to center an organization around mythicism.
Well, the fact is that most secularists aren't mythicists in that way, and you know, that they care to be activists about it. I think probably if you talk to most atheists, they're agnostic about Christ myth theory. It's pretty much a moot point. When it comes to atheism, you know, honestly, it's interesting to me as a conversation here and there at a party. But in the end, who gives a shit if Jesus existed or not? honest to God.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
and, you know, when it comes right down to it, it's interesting you bring it up before, because I was there for the conversations about what we should move forward as a secular activist community. Because most of the secularists are either doing what we're doing online and never going anywhere, or they go to a meetup group where they can be in a basement and people don't have to see that they're atheists, and they can kind of be introverts that they are naturally. And that's what they're looking for, more of a book club kind of a place where you can discuss atheism safely and you don't need to come out about it. That's what Milwaukee is, because Milwaukee is, it may as well be Birmingham, Alabama. It's absolute. I have a running joke that if you fell out of an airplane over Milwaukee, you have about a 30% chance of getting impaled on a steeple. The skyline is like this, with Gothic steeples everywhere. So it's a very, very, very conservative base here. And they picked mythicism, to get back to my point, because there are atheist groups everywhere. And it's a pretty good idea in a way. Every town's got an atheist group, but there aren't any mythicist groups. And so from a marketing standpoint, they can corner the market. And they kind of have. Milwaukee is the center of mythicism, if you're into that, in the world. So, they really succeeded in spades in a way, but it doesn't serve the secular community, not even a fraction of the secular community. And that's what was frustrating me. I mean, my child's classroom, I have a fourth grader who is an enrichment kid. He's a really smart kid. His classroom, which is the advanced classroom in Kenosha, his teacher has wallpapered his room with the Bible. It's shocking.
That's crazy.
I'm in the middle of it right now with FFRF. This is a public school, just a public school. Psalms verses, In God We Trust, God Bless America, quotes about how the nation is stronger under the Lord. It goes on and on and on. So I have bigger fish to fry than
Milwaukee being the sort of the Bible Belt. I don't know why. It's
funny.
In Oklahoma, I always say that in Oklahoma, we have two things. We have tornadoes and churches, and the tornadoes are easier to escape. And I very much feel that way.
Escape from them in the churches.
We live in a nice little bubble here. It's always beer and Catholics. That's what we got up here.
It's very Catholic and very old school Lutheran. It's not as evangelical as a lot of places, but it's very, very Catholic and very old German Lutheran.
We all agree September was a black eye. It was not our – it wasn't our finest hour. It was just a shitty thing to do. It was a tremendous point of division. It's not the face we want to show the world as people who reject superstition and people who want to go out and do good for goodness sake and who genuinely want to help people. And the Brew City benefit is about helping people. I'll let you choose, but somebody start to describe what we're going to be doing in April and what the goals are and how people can and should get involved.
Sure, I can do that. So long story short, the Brew City benefit is an entire secular conference a humanist conference that's all around doing something good for the community. For this one, we're actually focusing on sexual assault. That's why the vast majority of proceeds for this event are going to RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. There are a huge sexual assault support group all throughout the nation. They set up the sexual assault hotline that people use all the time. They work with local groups all across the nation, setting up just defenses and shelters for people. So that's the whole focus of the Saints, that we're trying to actually have it where people can come together, be social, but then also support a good cause at the same time. So we're doing that also as, I'm sure all of you guys have been to secular conferences where it's just lecture after lecture after lecture after lecture. And while I love, listening to Seth's lecture all day long.
Nice. I'll give you my American Express card. Yeah. Thanks.
Perfect. Yeah. But in all sincerity, listening to like 8 hours of lectures can probably be a little bit boring for people. So what we're trying to do is actually have it be a little bit more social. We have a live band coming. It's mine. It's a really cool band.
Your American Express card number.
Then. Yeah, right. For that. Exactly.
Anybody else want to elaborate?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to not only make statements about what we're not, right? Because ultimately that's what atheism is, right? It's a statement about a thing we're not. And that's, the age-old problem, right? It's been part of the discourse since organized atheism has been a thing, right? We don't believe in God. Okay, so what do we believe in, right? And for most of us, humanism is the answer to that, right? It's about evidence-based solutions to human problems. And so what I think is awesome about this conference is that it is that. Right. It's a positive alternative to what happened in Milwaukee before. And it's a bunch of people standing up saying, yeah, we're doing this and we're gathering together because we actually want to make the world a better place. Like, we don't want to just make fun of religion or talk about how the Bible doesn't make sense or you know, invite trolls on stage because they have a huge audience and they can make money. We actually want to make a positive change in the world and talk about real world solutions to problems. And that's what I'm all about. And so, yeah, I'm excited about being part of it.
Yeah. I want to challenge the community to frankly put their money where their mouth is and remind everybody that Sargon's people bailed that crew out to the tune of $20,000, and we're having trouble getting 25 people to contribute to this. So, I'm on line with Seth. Can you help us, Seth? You got like 100,000 followers. If everybody who likes Seth Andrews gave a dollar, we could invite Dawkins.
Don't frame it like that.
Not just you, not just you, Aaron, and Thomas Smith, who is, you know, I'm calling you out, Thomas. Where are you, buddy? make your people stand behind you, man. That dude's people stepped up for him, and some of them don't even have jobs, I'm positive. So, you know, if they can do it, we can do it. Get out there, you know, reach down, get $5, get $10. You know, I put in a few bucks. Joe put in a few bucks. We'll put in more if we have to in the end to get this to happen. But if everybody just get on the Indiegogo and give a dollar. Goal's 8,000. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. We're about at 2.
Yep, we're at 8,000. We just passed the $2,000 mark. So we're about a quarter way there and have a long way to go. So the Indiegogo is reaching into its final week as of today.
You know, one thing about the last, I don't know, it's more than just the last 6 months, but the last few years, I've been struck by how atheism doesn't always translate to humanism. And there are so many people, not so many, but they're loud and they're irritating. They don't believe in gods, but they have no real either concern or they don't have the pulse when it comes to trying to better the world and to try to say things that de-escalate and heal instead of harm. And, you know, they're about escalation, inflammation, pushing the boundary, controversy, sometimes for its own sake. And I just think, you know, I'd be terrified if somebody who was going through what I had been going through 12 years ago had Google searched and found their channels first. Right? I'd be terrified that they would see these people who were so anti-humanistic, so were against our values. Has anybody else seen some of that? And do you have any thoughts on it?
Oh, I mean, I've lived it since I got involved in the community. I mean, there, something Matt Delahunty says that I really respect is that there's not an atheist community. There are atheist communities, right? Because we all have separate interests, right? For some people, it's purely an academic exercise and it's information and philosophy and debate. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mean to talk down about that, but for some people, that's their primary interest, right? And someone like me, I mean, my primary interest is I've identified organized religion as a net harm to the world and one that needs addressed in its own right. And so that's, you know, that's what my fight is about. And that translates into humanism for me. And it doesn't for everyone else. And I think, I mean, we could probably do 3 more episodes of the show on why that is. But I mean, what it comes down to is that atheism tells you what you're not. It doesn't give you a set of values. And if you're a person who already values superiority because of, you know, race or gender or class or any of that kind of stuff, or someone who's not interested in acknowledging things like privilege and advantage and social status and all of that kind of stuff, like, I don't know that, you know, losing religion is going to be a huge impetus to all of a sudden care about and be involved in those things, right? And I think that's why something like this is important, is to talk about humanism and talk about what do we value? What do we actually want to accomplish aside from just, you know, tearing Bibles out of everybody's hands and everyone losing their God belief? You know, like, not that those things are necessarily negatives, but I think we have to think more broadly than that. And I think a lot of organized atheism, especially, you know, YouTube is kind of where this stuff lives, is that it's about a superiority complex. I'm smarter than you because I've figured out God doesn't exist, right? And I think a lot of people stop there. And I think as a community, we need to sort of ratchet up the social pressure and say that's not enough. That's not who we want to be, and that's not what we're going to accept in whatever social circles we have. Obviously, an important way of doing that is to fight the negatives and to yell and scream and fight. But it's also important to provide a positive alternative to that and have those positive forward thinking conversations where you say, yes, you are welcome here. If you're a woman, if you're trans, if you're queer, if you're black, if you're disabled, et cetera, et cetera. It's important to have those inclusive spaces and those inclusive conversations as well as fighting the bad stuff.
Speaking of YouTube, it's so maddening too, because anytime we, you know, anything that you just mentioned and then some, we talk about things like justice and equality and humanism and all these other things. And the YouTube comment sections are clogged with usually these pissed off looking white guys who are screaming SJW. I didn't subscribe for this, blah, 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 blah. And I always think to myself, you know, look, there's the door. You know, there is plenty of room out there on the web for you. Right. In fact, while you're out, I'll take a cherry cheese Danish and a coffee. You know what I'm saying? I don't need you here. If you're not about trying to make life better for other people, if you're not about compassion, if you're not about trying to be solution based and you just want to tear down instead of building back up something better, then I don't really need or want you in my life. And I've come to that realization in my own life. Not that everybody has to be an activist, but those who just throw trash from the cheap seats, honestly, I got no time for you. And if you don't get why we want to help other people, I got no time for you, because a great many of us do want to make the world a better place.
I agree with you, Seth, and I always find it funny that these people rail against the people that they don't agree with, and they cry for everyone else to shut up. Aren't they really after their own social justice? Aren't these alt-right weirdos crying for everyone else to shut up and get out of the movement? Aren't they just sort of becoming what they hate by whining for their own weird special interest?
I mean, if someone's going to throw stones at the Help the Brew City benefit with the aim to support the victims of rape and sexual assault, and if they're going to throw stones at this, I got no time for you. I don't know if anybody else wants to add anything to that. I think there's a ton of people who are with us and they're like, where's the link? I want to give. I want to do something. Let's meet the goal in the next 12 hours. Let's do that. And I hope that happens. Anybody want to chime in on that real fast?
Yeah, I mean, that's so much of what my activism has become lately. I mean, we had John Pavlovitz on our show earlier because I'm interested in working with progressive Christian folks who share the same values that we do. Like, you know, we disagree on the God stuff, fine. But like, if we can both, you know, get behind racial justice and we can both get behind gender justice and we can talk about those things. I mean, those are the things that are the most important to me, right? And so if I can find that in progressive Christian circles where I may be having trouble finding it in atheist circles outside the ones that I already run in, that's where I'm going. Like, I'm interested in working with people who have the same goals as I do when it comes to justice and equality. And like you said, I mean, if you're not about that, you know, I'm not going to beat you up over it. I'm going to tell you I think you're wrong, and I'm going to fight against the things that I think you're doing that are harmful. But like, I don't have time for it. Like, I don't have time to intellectualize discussions about why we shouldn't rape taunt people. Like, if that's not self-evident to you, I probably don't have time for that conversation.
How,
you know what
basic
I mean?
Is that? How yeah. basic is it?
It's right? pretty obvious stuff. It's important to point out that we're partnering with a church. It's a nice liberal Presbyterian church on Milwaukee's near south side, kind of a famous landmark. And I interviewed Dr. Minga Futrell. I don't know if you guys know her. She's near 80 now, and she started the Brights. She was in the movement in the very beginning. She's got great stories. But her really salient point is that what we're trying to do is move together and move forward on civic issues that affect everybody. The problems that we're talking about, they don't just affect atheist rape victims. They affect religious rape victims. They affect everybody. And when religious people and atheistic people, secular people can move forward on common ground for the better civic good and just frame it that way, she sees a real chance for the whole thing to move forward with greater alacrity.
It's held at the church in April, correct?
Correct.
I know I'm getting on a plane. I'm going to be there not speaking. It's so weird. Like, I'm going, but I mean, and I'll do whatever, you know, I'll valet park or I'll sweep the floor. Just give me a job, you know, give me something to do. But
we're somebody remember that.
I'm on record, but somebody spell out what's going to happen in Milwaukee, when, and how do people get involved and where can they give to support the cause?
Sure. So all in all, like we've been saying this entire time, it's the Brew City Benefit. We're holding it in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the Calvary Presbyterian Church, which is literally called the Big Red Church in Milwaukee. We do have some awesome people coming. We have both Aaron and Lalandra Raw coming. We have Thomas Smith coming back to Milwaukee, which is now for the third time. Kelly Wright's coming, which I'm so excited. We also have Alex Jules, Seth, you're coming as well. And then we also have a local guy, Jason Love, who's coming, who will be talking about autism awareness as well. We also have a special musical guest, Astro Sebastian, which is coming here. We're going to have drinks in here, live music playing. You can just meet your favorite speakers. You can meet Kelly. You can meet Seth. It'll be fun, I promise. And then also it's for a huge good cause as well. Benefiting RAIN, the Rape Abuse Incest National Network. So to do all that, you can go to our Indiegogo link, basically indiegogo.com, and then type in Help the Brew City Benefit. You can also check out the Milwaukee Humanists Facebook page, which also have updates and information at MKE Humanists. Same thing with our Twitter. And then there's also a Brew City Benefit Facebook page as well.
I'm not going to make everybody remember that. I'll put all those links in the description box so you can just roll right down with your mouse and you can just click on those.
If we do meet our goal, everything over our cost is going to be benefiting the new Milwaukee Humanist Group, trying to get a better secular organization in Milwaukee, trying to really rebuild that community that we lost after MythCon. And then the vast majority of proceeds will be going to RAIN. So if you have questions about that, it's all laid out for you on our Indiegogo page.
I would just say it's important to think on, you know, the fact that small things can help a lot, right? So if you've heard all the stuff that we're talking about, you're really into it and you feel like you can't do much because you can't give $50 or $100 or whatever, give a dollar, give $5, share it on your social media with your friends. Like, all of that makes a huge difference. I think one of the things that hangs people up in activism is that they don't feel like they can do the huge gestures that, you know, protesting at City Hall and showing up for big protests and giving a bunch of money and all of that stuff is important, but you don't have to do the big flashy important stuff to make a difference. A dollar makes a difference. $5 makes a difference. A share makes a difference. A conversation makes a difference. And I think this is something that's really, really important to be involved in at whatever level you can. So I would encourage anyone who agrees that this is a positive thing to support at whatever capacity you're able.
I just think that this is going to be a very beautiful way to bring people to Milwaukee, you know, for something very positive, something that's going to uplift people, something that's going to be a benefit to the community and to the broader atheist movement and community. I was invited with a free ticket to come back to Milwaukee, and I still gave money because I wanted to support this thing. And you know, like Callie was saying, like, every little bit helps. If you can only give $5, $1, that's enough. And you can still say that you helped, you know, something beautiful happen in our community when, you know, we're trying to counteract the shit that happened. So, yeah, come to Milwaukee and hang out with all the coolest people. I mean, we're all going to be there, so why not, right? Be able
to, first of all, I'm wondering how you get drinks in the church. Are you going to call it communion? I mean, what's your strategy there?
Nothing but red wine all day long.
The second thought I had is you'll know whenever Rob and I are having a conversation at the bar because it'll sound like a late night FM radio show. It'll be like, oh, that's a great conference. How's it going? Today, probably sunny skies, 73 degrees.
Back to you, Seth.
I appreciate all four of you so very much. We are in the business of doing good for goodness sake, and this epitomizes that. So I've got the link in the description box. Go to the Brew City Benefit fundraiser page. Give whatever you can as soon as you can. Let's meet and exceed the goal, and let's do some good, for goodness sake. Thank you all for participating and talking to me.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.